Hebrews chapter 10. Back up to verse 9, if you would. Then he said, this is Jesus Christ speaking, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. You'll open your Bibles once again to Hebrews chapter 10. Just by way of a short review, we've learned last Sunday morning in our study that the law given to us by God is but a shadow of the good things to come. It's not the very image of those things. It's just a shadow. And the law could never make those who come to it perfect. And remember that whole law system was basically in three parts. There was the law involving the sacrificial system, and that involves the tabernacle and the brazen altar and all of those sacrifices. For hundreds of years, thousands of sacrifices were taken to the brazen altar and killed and burned in sacrifice. But they all spoke of the real, the Lord Jesus Christ, the real object. They were just shadows that God himself was going to take on a body, and he was going to die on the cross to bear the penalty of our sin. And then there was the brass laver, where the priests would wash their hands and cleanse themselves before they went into the holy place, showing that, representing Jesus Christ, and he alone is the way to cleanse, and he gives us entrance into the holy place. And then inside the holy place, we went through the table of showbread, Jesus, the bread of life, the golden lampstand, Jesus, the light of the world. And then there was the high priest, who every year on the Day of Atonement went into the Holy of Holies before the Ark of the Covenant. And there he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And remember the two cherubim at either end glaring down on the mercy seat. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant were those symbols that represented Israel's sin and rebellion against God. And the blood would come between the judgmental eyes of the cherubim and the sin of the people. So God allowed them to live for another year. But every year, year after year, the day of Yom Kippur came. But it was all just a shadow. It wasn't the real. It was a shadow of the real tabernacle, which is in heaven. And it pointed to the fact that Jesus Christ one day was going to carry his blood into the real tabernacle to forever propitiate, satisfy God forever against our sin. Now that was the first segment, the sacrificial system. It was the first segment of the law. The second segment, obviously, were the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. The moral law, which just is used by the Holy Spirit to reveal our sin, because we have not kept them. We have not kept them mentally or physically. So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but they point us to Jesus Christ where there's cleansing. And then finally, there's the laws of levirate marriage, the cleansing laws, the laws of cleansing, and all of the feast days, the feast of the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of the first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of tabernacles, the feast of atonement, all of these, the feast of trumpets, all of these point to Jesus Christ. Amazing. The cities of refuge, you remember those in the Old Testament? All point to Jesus Christ. They all provide a shadow of good things to come. But once Christ died, that whole system was done away with. Amazing, isn't it? That whole system was done away with. Now we're living, as we're going to see today, under a new will of God, a brand new will of God. So we come to verse 10. Now look, we kind of backed up and got that verse 9 as really an introduction. We're reading there the thoughts of, remember, the thoughts of the young baby Jesus in the manger. What's he thinking? Remember, he says, in sacrifices and offerings for sin, you've had no pleasure, but a body you have prepared me. And we said that the first person of the Trinity gave the second person of the Trinity a body in order to come into the world and go to the cross and die for our sin. Because as God, he couldn't die. He needed that body to become the satisfactory sacrifice for our sin. And then in verse 9 he says, and then he said, behold, I have come to do, here it is, your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Now the first is that sacrificial system that we just went through. Codex number 1, codex number 2, codex number 3, and all that involves, set apart, gone, set aside. We're under a new covenant today. A new will and testament. And verse 10, here we go. By that will. Now we know what a will is, do we not? A will is a written document, a legal document, whereby the testator, that's the one who makes the will, decides what happens to his or her assets before they die. As meager as those assets might be, in my case. I determine which direction they go, to whom they go. Secondly, that will is usually enacted upon the death of the testator. Now, I have a will. I have a written will. And that will be initiated. It will be in force the moment I check out of here, the moment I go to be with Jesus Christ. Now, we know that God has given us a will, and that will was activated upon the death of the testator. Now, who's the testator? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who had to die. But let's read on here. By this will, we have been sanctified. Now, I love the word sanctified. It means to be set apart for a particular purpose. I always use this. I like this illustration. I have a sanctified pen. Oh, it's not holy. But I have set this pen apart for a particular purpose. I sign my name with it. I write my notes with it. It's been set apart for a particular reason. Likewise, those who have believed in Jesus Christ have been set apart. Now, when sanctification involves God, it means that we have been set apart for His glory. We have been set apart for His purpose. We have been set apart on His behalf. He has set us apart. So by this will, we have been sanctified, we have been set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, here it is, once for all. That is, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he set apart everyone who would believe in him once for all, for his glory. Now think about that just a moment. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have received the free gift of eternal life by faith in Christ, then you have been set apart for God's glory. You are placed on this planet for a purpose, for a reason, to magnify Jesus Christ, to glorify Him, to shed light upon Him, to draw other people to faith in Christ, to be used by Him for that purpose. That's His will for us, and that will was activated the moment that the testator died. That's Jesus Christ. The moment He died. So I love that song. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. That's true. I was on His mind. He died in my place. He had a plan for creating me, and He had a plan for saving me and setting me apart for His glory. That is true. Now, this is what we call, those of us who consider ourselves, you ready for this, theologians, we call positional sanctification. We are spiritually, positionally in Christ. That is a realm which we can't see with our eyes, we can't taste with our mouth, we can't smell with our nose, and we can't hear with our ears. It's in that realm of God's unseen world. But it's real nonetheless. We have been set apart for His glory. That's a real happening. And it's a positional truth. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. Now, if you can get there real quick, you can turn there and look at it. It's a real simple verse. And it talks about, again, the will of God. Remember, a will is a choice to distribute wealth at the death of the testator. Here it is. For this is the will of God, your what? Your sanctification. There it is. That's the will of God. That's a choice of God. Your sanctification. When it says your sanctification, now He has in mind those who have trusted Jesus Christ. Those who have been born of God. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about Christians. This is the will of God. This is the testament of God. This is the choice of God. You're being set apart for His glory. Now, in this real sense, you have been, that sometimes that's translated in the word, being made holy. That is, once we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're made holy. Don't look at me like that. You don't look very holy to me, and I'm sure I don't look very holy to you. But God considers us to be holy. The word holy is to be sanctified, hagios, to be set apart. This is why in the Old Testament we read about St. Paul and St. John and St. Linda and St. Dick and St. Bruce and St. Alan and St. R.B. That's what we call that. Set apart to God's glory. That is the will of God. That's how we're connected to Jesus Christ. We're connected to Him that very way. This fulfills, by the way, 1 Peter 1:16. Peter writes, "You shall be holy," he's speaking for God, "for I am holy, as God has been set apart." Remember, He's set apart from all that He created. So we have been set apart for His glory. One act, one moment of time provided a permanent sanctification for everyone who places trust in Jesus Christ. On the cross, He sanctified us. He set us apart to Himself. He made us forever holy and dear to Himself. But think a minute now. This is positional sanctification. What God wants us to do is to bring our positional sanctification into our everyday lives and make it practical sanctification. That is, we are to live who we are. I tell people, we become children of the living God by faith in Jesus Christ. We're to live like children of the living God. We're to live like those who have been bought with the price of His precious blood. We're to live who we are. And if we've been set apart for His glory, we're to live set apart for His glory. And that's what Paul writes. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. He's writing to the believers at Colossae. This is what he says. Therefore, since you have been permanently set apart to God, you might add, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. That's the way you once acted, but now that you've been sanctified, set apart for God's glory, you're not to act that way anymore. Now, do we live that way at times? Yes, we do. And we sometimes find ourselves under the disciplinary hand of God. He chastises us. He spanks us as a good father would spank a child, so that we run back to fellowship with Him. But we're not to live that way anymore. That's what Paul is saying. You once lived that way, you're not to live that way anymore. Why? Because you've been set apart for the glory of God. And notice it says, we have been sanctified. That's past tense, right? We have been once and forever sanctified. It's not an ongoing process. It happened at a moment of time on the cross of Calvary. We were set apart for His glory. Even then, we were in His mind. Even then, we were in His heart. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And it's not to get all we can. It's not to make a name for ourselves. It's to glorify Him. That's why we're here, to shed light upon Jesus Christ. We are His vessels. We belong to Him. He bought us with the price of His precious blood. Now look in verse 11 and 12. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, notice this, which can never take away sins. Remember those priests? They went through the motions, didn't they? And that high priest on the Day of Atonement carried the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkling it on the mercy seat. But notice it says, look, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Notice the word man is capitalized. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Now the two verses here have a series of contrasts that reveal the effectiveness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the many priests are contrasted with the one priest. The continual standing of the old priests with the sitting down of the new priest. The repeated offerings of the old priest contrasted with the once and for all offering of the new priest and the unproductive sacrifices that only covered our sin temporarily. In contrast with the successful sacrifice that completely removes our sin forever and ever. Now think in your mind about the Levitical system. It had 24 orders, and in each of those orders were hundreds of priests who took turns serving the altar. They didn't lack for priests, did they? They had a bunch of them, had a bunch of preachers. How would you like that? And all the priests working together, and as busy as they were, they could not make one effective sacrifice for sin. And when Jesus Christ became our high priest, his one work effected the eternal payment for sin forever. One work. That one death on the cross of Calvary paid in full our sin debt. That is what all those priests couldn't do for literally hundreds of years, Jesus did in one act. Is that not fantastic? And the other contrast is this. The priests never sat down. One of the most interesting things about the tabernacle that you would observe, there's no chairs in the tabernacle. Not one chair. Because the priests were never through. They always had another sacrifice to offer. They always had another year when the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, was coming. They always had work to do. It was never ending. So they never sat down. However, the contrast here is so very clear. After he had offered one sacrifice for sin, how long? Forever, he what? He sat down. Jesus Christ, remember, sat down at the right hand of the Father, from henceforth expecting until he makes his enemies his footstool. By the act of sitting down, what he was teaching us and what he is teaching us here is that his work had been done. It was finished. And last of all, look at verses 13 and 14. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. We find in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that he conquered Satan. Satan became the author of death. God robbed him of that privilege. He robbed death from Satan. He destroyed his effectiveness at that moment, Hebrews 2:14 says. And he disarmed and triumphed over all rulers and authorities of all ages who have rejected and opposed God, all unbelievers. And all the fallen angels were stripped of their power and their authority. All of the demon spirits that many times plague us, he stripped them all of their power. I love the passage in Philippians chapter 2 where Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was fashioned in the likeness of a man. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. Whereby God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, to shed light upon the Father." How about that? We are totally and forever set apart to the glory of God by his will. Look in verse 14. "For by means of one offering, He has perfected how long? Forever. You know what that is? That's eternal security. That's what that is. He has perfected forever those who are being what? Set apart. Continually being set apart. There are many being set apart this very day all over the world. They're being set apart to God's glory. Why? Because Jesus Christ died in their place. They were on His mind. They were created for His glory. They were created to magnify Him. They had a purpose for being here, a reason for living that transcended this world, this life. It's not all there is. This life is not all there is. We are forever connected to the cross work of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have God's Son, Jesus Christ, then you have everything. You have everything. There was a very wealthy landowner many years ago, extremely wealthy. He and his wife gave birth to a mongoloid son. At first, it crushed him. But then day by day, week by week, month by month, he came to love that child. He loved him because he believed in the sovereignty of God. And he believed that God does not waste children on us. He gives us children for what they can do for us, not what we do for them. So he grew to love that child. And he poured his life into that boy. And then his wife died. And so he committed himself to take care of that boy. And ultimately, time went on and he grew old. And he knew that he was going to die. So what he did is he had a portrait painted of that little boy. And he hung the portrait above the stairway. And it looked out over the great room in his mansion. The portrait of the little mongoloid boy, whom he loved dearly. And he commissioned one of his maids that he saw a good heart in her. He commissioned her and he began to train her how to meet the boy's needs and take care of him. And that's exactly what happened. He died. And that lady began to meet the needs of that little boy. They began to auction off all his belongings. And the judicial system was amazed that they never found a will. So the government stepped in and they began to auction off all of his belongings piece by piece. And it came down finally to that painting of the little boy that hung above the stairwell. And the maid was there at the auction and she knew how much that man loved that little boy. So out of just a love for him and respect for him, she bought the painting. And she took it home with her. And she began to look at that painting. And as she began to look closely, she found in the back, etched behind the backing, some paperwork. And in that paperwork was the man's will. And he said in that writing, "To the person who bought this painting goes my entire estate, and he was worth millions. If you love my son, then you get my inheritance. We are connected to Jesus Christ by a will, the will of God, a will and a testament. We are connected to Him. And if we have Him, we have the Son, then we have it all. We have it all. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?